Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Separation is a major badge, not just a mark of a spiritual person. It's a button that just simply functions.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about biblical separation. This message was recorded in a chapel service in 2001. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, biblical separation.
Ministry land in this regard. There are extremes. People love to use the word fundamentalist in relationship to that which is negative. Where, for example, the fundamentalist of the Islam, that is the fundamentalist of the United States of America, called right-wing Bible believers, and they put all fundamentalists in that same type of a category. And we don't fit that category. And what I'm trying to do is take a biblical approach to the thought of separation and then a biblical approach to the concept of application. And then how do we live with the philosophy called New Evangelicalism, Neo-Evangelicalism? And by way of introduction, we look at fundamentalism, neo-evangelicalism, neo-orthodoxy, and then liberalism and modernism. You'll note that there is a centrifugal force. There is a fleeing from center. Here we have center, and there was constantly a fleeing from center. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So Paul is dealing with the idea here of separation from that which is the world, separation from that which is unholy. What is separation? Separation draws lines, sets limits, erects boundaries, and refuses concessions. It draws lines, sets limits, erects boundaries, refuses concessions based solely on obedience to biblical absolutes. Now, there are two approaches that are used. There is a polemic. A polemic is an attack upon another's position. An apologetic is a defense. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer. That's apologia. That is giving an answer to every man who asks a reason of the hope that is in you. So you are giving an answer of why you believe what you believe. It's a defense of your position. But there are times when a polemic is necessary where you have to attack that which is an enemy. You attack that which is not the truth. And you cannot lay down and simply be apologetic in defending your position. If your position is under attack, then a polemic is necessary. And that's why we take that which is error to go with truth, to attack truth. Remember, it is more important that you look at your compass than your clock. Look at where you are going rather than how quickly you get there. When you get out in the ministry and you get surrounded by other ministries and they seem to be exploding, and the explosion is based upon a lot of pragmatic humanistic philosophy, and it seemed like you are getting nowhere, you look at your compass, not your clock. Because when your compass is set, It may not get you where you're going in the timing that you would like, but it is better that you die for a conviction than that you live with compromise. Now, let's go back and look at this idea. What is a fundamentalist? Well, a fundamentalist believes that the Bible is the Word of God, but he also believes in separation. And we will talk in more detail regarding the whole concept of separation, but I don't want to do it in this context so I can present the big picture here. But it believes in separation, not just the passage that I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but both personal and ecclesiastical separation. Personal separation that demands personal holiness, separation from a world system, and then the ecclesiastical separation that would cause us to draw lines and refuse concessions with those who have compromised the truth of God's word. So a fundamentalist is one who believes that the Bible is the word of God. He believes in separation. Now, there is a term added to fundamental, and we will give somewhat of a history of that. If any of you have Marsden's books, I would encourage you to read some of Marsden's history regarding the movements, history of fundamentalism, the history of the introduction of neo-evangelicalism. But neo was added to evangelicalism. What was the most major event that happened in the last century that caused the fundamentalist, or who was called, at that time he was called an evangelical? What trial was it? Scopes trial. And what was the Scopes trial? What did the Scopes trial involve? Okay, the debate on evolution. There was evolution being taught. The case was won. William Jennings Bryan came out of retirement. The case was a no-brainer. But the point of those who were attacking creationism, the point was not for them to win the case. The point for them was to show how ignorant Christians are. How many of you watched any of the O.J. Simpson trial on TV? I had a little wager going with my son. He said, O.J.'s going to get off. I said, there is no way. And when the announcement was made, I thought, did I hear that correctly? Did I hear that correctly? Well, O.J.'s on trial now in Florida again for road rage. He grabbed somebody's glasses or somebody on the face. So I just heard on Paul Harvey News this morning that O.J. is back in his old haunts again. But he'll probably have to write 500 times, I should not grab people's faces. As I can just sense the depth of this is going to be a biggie this time. He's going to really get something this time. Last time he got off, this time he's going to have to write sentences of, I will not do this again. But I don't want to sidetrack on that, but if you remember the O.J. Simpson trial, the O.J. Simpson trial was the first trial that was held on national television. And every time there was free time, people would kind of gather around to find out what was going on. And he had a slick attorney. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And he had all of these things going on, and everyone had their ear kind of to the sound and eyes on the television if they were within view. Well, if you can picture in small part that the Scopes trial was the first time something like that was ever done on radio, and radio was a relatively new thing at that time. So people were gathered around their crystals, and they would listen. So Neo was added because there was this intimidation that we would not be perceived as hayseed by the intellectual community. Because coming in from Europe, the rationalist, those who were coming in with humanistic philosophies into the educational bases, We're beginning to intimidate those who simply believe that the Bible is God's word, that simply believe that the Bible is not fallible. It is a book that is without error, and it is a book that has been given by God, and the basic doctrines of the word were those which could be believed and accepted and preached. So what happened is Harold Ockenghay was given the title as the father of modern neo-evangelicalism, but neo-evangelicalism was introduced a lot earlier than that, and it was just picked up by that theme. And so new was added, but they did not want to surrender truth, so they still believed that the Bible is the Word of God, but they added this, they believed in infiltration, not separation. We cannot separate, we must infiltrate. By the way, somebody asked me one time, many years ago, we were still in revival ministry, says, what is a neo-evangelical? I said, that's a person who hates people who don't love. That is, was a fitting definition at that time, because the fundamentalists were accused of having absolutely no love, and the neo-evangelicals hated the fundamentalists because they didn't love. But neo-evangelicalism goes a lot deeper than just hating unloving people. It goes into the core of a philosophy because there was a surrender that was beginning to be made. Now, neo-orthodox is a person who believes that the Bible becomes or contains. You see the pressure that's slipping out here? They believe that the Bible becomes or the Bible contains the Word, and social concern became a little greater focus. If you were ever involved in fundraising today, in trying to get monies from corporations and monies from foundations for Christian ministries, you will find that ministries in this category get a mere pittance because of these two things. Ministries that focus on social concern, where doctrine is not the main focus, these get into hundreds of millions of dollars gifts because there's no political incorrectness involved in that. So neo-orthodox believes that the Bible becomes or the Bible contains the Word of God. That is, if I'm reading the Bible, it's not God's inspired Word, but if I'm reading a passage and that particular passage warms my heart, then that becomes the Word to you. Because the Bible does contain the Word, and if that reading stirs your heart, then it becomes God's Word to you. Who then becomes the determiner of whether that's inspired or not? The person himself. It's not objective at all. It becomes totally subjective. So neo-orthodoxy is the philosophy that the Bible is not God's word, but it is helpful, but the main focus is that you get involved in social concerns. The problems that come from that kind of a philosophy is a surrendering of truth. Why? Because there was this trend that came out of Europe. See, we operate on a thesis. For every thesis, there is what? An antithesis. But the thesis that the Christian has is the Bible is the Word of God. The antithesis, and that is of the neo-orthodox and the liberal, the Bible is not the Word of God. So you had these two factions. You had the Scopes trial. You had those who were evangelicals believing this, who did not want to be perceived as ignoramuses, but the neo-orthodox and the liberal and the modernist who came out of the education bases in Europe, coming into our seminaries in the United States of America, came in with an antithesis, but there was an appeal for synthesis. And the key word in synthesis is dialogue. Dialogue causes me to admit that my thesis is potentially flawed. Once I, as a fundamentalist, agree to dialogue, I put my thesis on the table as potentially flawed, and then we synthesize. And you know what the synthesis becomes? The synthesis becomes a new thesis. You know what? Generation after generation after generation, that which was absolutely held is now considered ignoramus. God's truth has never been accepted as intellectual by non-believers. It has always been mocked. Bible colleges will never be perceived as intellectual bases by the unregenerates who have no heart for God. Those who have a heart for God will realize that the authority base has to be the Bible. And so we continue to form a new thesis, and that new thesis is a drift away from the original premise that we have, that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's truth. And so then there's the fleeing of center, and then you go from neo-orthodoxy to liberalism and modernism, and they just basically say the Bible is not. It's not God's word. And there is an argumentation regarding that. They will try everything. Deutero-Isaiah theories and tri-Isaiah theories and anything at all to say that the Bible is not the word of God, full of inconsistencies. Remember, I was witnessing to a guy one time. He said, I couldn't believe that. He said, the Bible is full of contradictions. I said, name one. I said, truth of the matter is, you're not against the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts you. We don't argue with the fact. I mean, you can debate and ask questions at times, but truth of the matter is God's word is God's word. And it is going to stand any attacks, all of the tests of time that would come our way. But the danger is the compromise that brings us to surrender the authority of the Scripture. A lot of movements today could cause great danger in that regard. Now, let me put the next overlay up here. And if you turn over on the back, I will make reference back and forth. So remember, fundamentalism or evangelicalism believed the Bible is. There was an intimidation by the intellectual community. Neo was added to evangelicalism. And there is a surrender. Where this area is being surrendering truth now is in the realm of creationism. There is a strong move to accept theistic evolution. And that is not truth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God. We don't have to have a theistic evolution philosophy, or we don't have to have big gap theories to explain, to satisfy the mind of the scientist. What God's word states is absolutely truth. But let's look at this. Now, when we look at the realm of separation, I went through this many years ago because I was bound and determined I was not going to be in ministry and be a politician. I was not going to be in ministry and make my decision based on the fact that somebody else told me that this is how I'm supposed to be without honestly examining the Scriptures, examining the Word of God in those matters. So I look for God's terms. I found two, light and darkness. There are two categories of people in the world, saved and unsaved. Then there are two categories under saved, the spiritual and the carnal. And then under the unsaved, there's the natural. And these are the categories given in Corinthians. The spiritual man, the carnal man, and then Paul said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So then Paul, in addressing the Corinthians, he said, I'd like to talk to you as unto spiritual, but I can't. I have to come unto you as unto carnal, for there are divisions among you. So these are the Bible terms, light, darkness, spiritual, carnal, natural. And then we take the terms that have been coined. For example, fundamentalist. Fundamentalist goes under spiritual. Spirit-filled, he has a clear-cut purpose. His goal is to know God. He is not owned. He has a passion to know God, and he has a passion to do God's work and to do God's bidding. He is not intimidated by the unregenerates. He is not intimidated by those who don't know God. Case in point, the character Elijah. And to see how he clearly fit into this clear-cut purpose. He believes in separation, both personal and ecclesiastical. He does not get involved in religious politics. He determines to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that is where if the Holy Spirit of God convicts him of something, he is determined as a Bible believer to obey. Should I go and make something right with someone? What did Jesus say? If you have aught or brother has aught against you, what does it say? Lay down your gift at the altar and do what? Go to thy brother, make that right, and then come back and get these things straight and get these things settled. He determines to obey. He reflects the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the listing, the ninefold fruit given in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He has both proper actions and reactions. And he is continually adding to his faith. In other words, he is spiritual, he is of the light, and he is walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1 says, walk in the light as he is in the light. He is talking to those who were already of the light. They were believers. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. I extended fundamentalist into carnality. So you have the tangential fundamentalist, and the pride factor is the controlling factor here. So he is on a tangent. He's cultic, contentious, carnal. In the true scriptural sense of carnality, he has a complex, a messianic complex. Believes that the world, its survival, revolves basically around him. Contiguous, always on a tangent, and does not handle the scripture honestly. Sometimes he will take a text and depart from it, or he'll take a text and take a fit. But it may not always be an honest handling of the scripture. And oftentimes there is a conceitedness. Separation is a badge, not a button. If I have on a big badge, the first thing you notice about me is my badge. But you don't notice the buttons. The badge is simply a statement. The button is functional. And separation is a major badge, not just a mark of a spiritual person. That is a person who is walking with God. It's a button that just simply functions. He is keeping that way. Now, the neo-evangelical has a philosophy problem. His premise is flawed. Pragmatism becomes his operative norm. It is not information, but influence. Because some people say, well, some of the best teachers in the world are those who would be considered neo-evangelical by some. How do you handle that? Remember this, it is not what a person teaches, it's what he tolerates that determines the direction of his ministry. You can teach right things and tolerate error. And your information will be overpowered by a negative influence. Balaam, you want to get a blessing? Read Balaam's curses. Balaam was hired to curse God's people. You think, man, that blesses my heart. It was not his information. It was his influence. So we have the doctrine of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the way of Balaam, none of which are referred to in a positive light. Because he counseled the people of God to intermarry and intermingle. His influence overpowered his information. A lot of people will have tremendous expository teaching, but there is a toleration of these things rather than a separation. The philosophy is infiltrate and tolerate, and what you tolerate is what becomes direction giver. The Apostle Paul did not always land in a clink because he had mastered the art of political correctness. The Apostle Paul preached truth as truth was. And so you have the neo-evangelical philosophy with the activities, the associations, methods, purely pragmatic at times. And by the way, there are a lot of fundamentalists that are turning to pragmatic methods that are going to wind them up into this category. You cannot help, because what you tolerate is where your ministry is going to end up. Say, well, we're preaching truth. I mean, then the evangelical has an abuse of liberty. It is not a biblical perspective. It is an abuse of liberty, and it is grace to the point that the lifestyle becomes disgrace, and then it becomes religious humanism. Then you have the sinning brother. He has a practice problem. Lust, we are instructed what to do there. Laziness, what to do there. Lack of knowledge, what to do there. And lifestyles that are a result of these three things. And premise that liberty is license. And then out here in the natural state, the perversion, he is perverse regarding truth. He rejects the Bible. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 says, find them who go contrary to truth, mark them and avoid them. That is to make sure that there is a void between you and them. Not associate, not cooperate, recognize, reprove, remove. Neo-Orthodoxy talks about the things that we, and then social concern becomes their main goal.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala, teaching on the subject of biblical separation. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. And join us again next time for more teaching from God's Word on Building Great Leaders.